Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen joins us on Tuesdays at this time, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital, to answer a host of questions and concerns. Dr. Copen, thanks for saying hi. How are you today?
I'm terrific. And John, I need to do my follow-up, my important follow-up. How is your back?
Thank you for asking. Has it been just a week since we last spoke about this?
It's a week.
I wrenched my back just doing some simple, low weight, low impact exercise about 10 days ago. And when I came on with you, I could barely breathe or talk. Last night, I resumed my exercise routine.
No pain? You're good now?
No, I have pain now. But I've been getting so, like, I feel terrible not sweating and exercising a little bit that I thought I'll just go ahead and give it a little run here. So I did about 10 minutes of it just to kind of get the juices going again, knowing that with each twist and turn, I might set myself back 2 weeks. But so far, I feel so good.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah, so ease back into it like you're doing. It is amazing. Like we talked about last week, John, how time with most back pain just makes it go away. It's just so hard to be patient.
But you know what I didn't ask you, Doctor? This is my question. I've been thinking about this since we visited. So clearly I did something wrong, or not something so wrong, but our bodies can just be a little precarious that way. But here's my question. Is what happens when one of us bends over just to pick up a toothbrush and wham, there goes our back? Is that a muscle problem, like we've pulled a muscle, we've strained a muscle? Or is it a skeletal thing, like my bones aren't lined up correctly? Or is it a nerve thing, like my nerves are out of line? What's the problem there?
Yeah, so the most common scenario, leaning over and then go, oh, no, you know, knowing something happened with the back. It's a mechanical problem. It could have to do with the tendons, the ligaments back there, sometimes the muscles. It's like, think about it like things are tighter back there than they should be. And that unnatural movement, which should be a natural movement, but as we get older, it isn't, of just bending over, something gets out of whack. Think of it that way, and there's acute inflammation, there might be a muscle strain, and that's what leads to the discomfort. And then if you get some muscle spasm on top of that, which you probably had, John, based on what you're describing it, that can last for days and sometimes a couple of weeks. And that's why we keep getting back to this whole notion of stretching, core exercises, trying to be as flexible is possible, because that will help.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking, maybe as part of our routine at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whatever, I should or we should all do some just light stretching exercises or something like that, you know, like just limbering ourselves up.
Yeah, particularly those of us who sit a lot during the day.
Yeah.
You know, if we sit a lot during the day, then we get up and we suddenly go and try to bend over, reach for something in a funny way, and not normal way, that could lead to back problems. So, you know, that's why a lot of people get standing desks, right? You know, I don't know what you do there in the studio, Jen, if you sit the whole time, if you stand part of the time. I'm in a kind of a sitting profession when I'm seeing patients, obviously, but I try to walk around as much as I can during the course of the day. I find that can help a lot.
Dr. Most was on with Bob Surratt the other day. Thank you for all that. I think that's very helpful, Dr. Cope. And your colleague was on with our morning guy, Bob. And he said something, I think, along these lines, that the reason that you get a cold and the sniffles, and you might get another one and another one all within the same season, is because those are different cold viruses. And that while you might be immune from one, or imagine that you say get a vaccine for COVID and you say, okay, I got that thing licked now. It's natural to think that you're going to get a lot of different colds and sniffles because there's different viruses out there. It's not just one, but it's the other. Is that kind of what's happening?
This will be one of the rare times I agree with my esteemed colleague most.
There are
tons of viruses out there. Thankfully, most of them, when we talk about upper respiratory infection, just cause a common cold. We're miserable for a day or two, and we're going to get better. John, a good example of that is if we think about the family of viruses that COVID is part of, it's called the coronavirus. A lot of places in the world, they don't call it COVID, they call it corona. So COVID is one of the coronaviruses. There, until COVID, there were four commonly occurring coronaviruses that cause the common cold. They've been around for a long time. They cause the common cold. And then we get this new coronavirus that we know is the COVID virus. And since we had not been exposed to it ever, it caused a worldwide pandemic. And now what we're starting to see is, I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure this will happen, that COVID virus will just become a fifth member of the coronavirus family that is just going to be around and hopefully will just be causing the common cold pretty soon. So think about coronavirus, and then there's lots of other families of viruses that we really don't think about, but those are the ones that cause the common cold.
Okay, I'm going to take a break in a second, but see if we can just knock down a couple simple questions with short answers here. If I'm going to get a flu shot and the new COVID vaccine shot, what's your thought on getting them both in one trip?
I think it's a really good idea, particularly this time of year. We're now starting November. Someone who has not gotten their influenza shot yet, this is a good time to get it. We're going to start to see more and more influenza as we get deeper into the fall and start of the winter, and getting it with the COVID vaccine, the new COVID vaccine is safe. So you'd save yourself a trip to the pharmacy. So I think this is a good time to get both.
One arm or both arms?
I would do both arms.
And would it be better, though, if I was good enough to do this, to get one today and then come back a week later and do the other one? Or is there no advantage to spreading them out?
Yeah, I think it depends on the preference, John, of an individual. If somebody just wants to get it done, please just get it done. Get both, be done. You don't have to worry about it. Other people don't like the idea of getting two vaccines at the same time. If I don't feel well after one or the other, how will I know which one? Okay, so if you know you can rely on yourself to go back a second time, that's fine to do as well.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern. What are you handing out this evening for the trick-or-treaters, Dr. Copen?
We have the Costco candy, I have to say. Children should still enjoy that. Those of us a little bit older, you probably don't want to eat too much of that, but we will gladly hand it out to the kids.
What's the latest on face masks? A study has been done now that we've been wearing them for a few years. What did we learn?
Yeah, there's always studies. The people who are at risk of getting sick, meaning if you're immunocompromised, if you're quite elderly, when you go out and you're in a place where you know there's going to be a lot of people, particularly in a confined space, we know that well-fitting N95 respirators really work. The virus has a hard time getting in. So I really do recommend to people who fall into that category to use masks. It will help you.
I always thought that coming out of the pandemic, what we learned is that the mask is more for the other person than it is for yourself. It helps you, but the idea is if you're the sick one, you're not going to give it to everybody in earshot, right?
Yeah, so that's a different way of thinking about this, John. So somebody who has recently come down with COVID, the recommendation is still to stay home for 5 days. Then if you're feeling better, you can go out. But it would be a kind thing to wear a surgical mask for that reason. You could help minimize the spread to other people if there's still virus that you're exhaling.
Yeah. Does the same rule apply for a cold? If I have a cold and I don't want to give it to people, when am I most contagious? Would it be 5 days after the onset I'm not contagious? What's the rule on that?
Yeah, that one gets a little bit more complicated because it depends on the virus. Sometimes we're most contagious with certain viruses, believe it or not, before we're even symptomatic, which is part of the reason why fall and winter colds can be so common. We don't even know that we're shedding virus. I mean, that just happens. But the good news is we don't get that sick and we're going to be fine. But I think if somebody's sneezing a lot and coughing and got a runny nose and you have to go out in public, it would be a kind thing to wear a mask. You know, by the way, we look around the world. You know, we know in parts of Asia, they've been doing that for a very long time.
And that's
the reason why it helps to decrease the spread.
Teresa, you had a question for Dr. Copeland. What can we do for you? You're on WGN.
Hi, yes, I'm a senior, and I wanted to know if you're supposed to get the RSV and the new COVID shot.
That's interesting. I asked about the flu and the COVID shot, but what about RSV and the other two, Doc?
Yeah, so, Tracy, the recommendation is for people over the age of 65 to get the new RSV vaccine. RSV is respiratory syncytial virus. It's another one of those viruses that are around in the fall and the winter mostly. Little kids get RSV and older folks get RSV. So I would recommend that you get, if you're over 65, get the RSV vaccine, but do that at a separate time. Do it separate from the COVID. Do it separate from the influenza. And the reason I say that is RSV vaccine is new. This is the first season that we're giving it. And we're not 100% certain yet how it plays with the other vaccine. So I would do that at a separate time.
What do you think, Doctor? 2 weeks?
The COVID first and then the RSV?
If you haven't gotten the COVID shot, I would definitely do that, Tracy. Get that. Make sure you get the flu shot, too. If you haven't received it, it's really important. Don't forget about the flu shot. Then wait a few weeks and go get the RSV shot.
There we go. All right, Teresa, I think that helps a lot of us. Good question. Maybe time for one more quick one. Let's go to, who is that? Ron. Ron, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. Eliquis. The nurse in my doctor's office said that I shouldn't get the flu. I should wait a day, stay off the Eliquis, and for the flu shot, to get the flu shot. I never heard of this one before.
What do you think about that, Doctor?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that nurse is thinking about. Something specific about your situation. So I would say you just go ahead and get the flu shot.
And also they said that if you're over 85, you shouldn't give the flu and the COVID shot at the same time.
There is a single report about the potential for an increased risk of stroke in people over the age of 85 when they get the two together. I doubt there's really something to that. I think it's just a correlation that they saw. So again, if you're somebody, if you think you'll go back and you're worried about it, you can do it two separate times. But I think it's safe to go ahead and do the two at the same time, even if you're over 85.
Good questions today. Good information from Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern. Okay. Have a great Halloween, and please join us next Tuesday afternoon, Doc.
Look forward to it, John. Everybody take care. Bye-bye.